Morning, everyone. We're in lesson three. There are a couple copies available if you need one. It's the same copy you had for the last few weeks. Lifestyle witnessing, creating opportunities, making the most of opportunities. We've talked about the fact that while there are good principles to keep in mind and that are universal when it comes to sharing the faith, making the most of opportunities, every situation in a way, though, too, is also unique. And so we shouldn't put pressure on ourselves or pressure on others to say you have to do it this way, because what works in your situation may not work in that other situation. And so just because someone else may be gifted in the making the most of opportunities, don't feel bad that you're not as gifted in that way, because your gift may be in something else. All right. Creating opportunities, the worship on lesson three. I'll be the A's. You guys are the B's. I hear the Savior calling. The gospel comes to me. My eyes, once closed in blindness, are open now to see. I hear the Savior calling. He leads a soul to me, a soul in bitter anguish, one needing to be free. I hear the Savior calling. He gives this charge to me, to serve the best I'm able, whate'er the call may be.
Thus hand in hand with others, who share the gospel key, who spread the gospel tidings, my Savior calls to me.
I hear the Savior calling. His call has urgency. Each moment souls are dying, soon comes eternity.
And so, my precious Savior, this is my humble belief. Prepare me for my mission, for you are calling me.
All right, so on the bottom of the page, it talks about joys and frustrations, opportunities made, opportunities missed. We'll get into those as we go forward. This is also ties to Hebrews 10, where it talks about let us not give up meeting together, but so we can encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. You know, oftentimes we use that for worship setting. It's good for us to not give up meeting together, but also just in other settings as well, especially when it comes to sharing the faith. We can do that at a Bible study. We can do that when we go to a friend's house. We can just, you know, hey, I had this experience during the week. I went to share a faith with a coworker or with a friend over cards, and they really got belligerent. And so, again, we can just, the opportunity to get together with like-minded people, we don't want to undervalue that, so that we can share the joys, because it might be, hey, I shared the good news of Jesus with a friend while we were playing cards, and they're like, I haven't been in church in years. Can I learn more? You know, that opportunity comes too. So let us not give up meeting together. On page two of the introduction, the congregation thought it would soon die. The members were aging. The neighborhood had changed. The elementary school next door was bad news. What could they do? One day the pastor discovered that one elderly member was quite a piano player, even at her age. He had learned during home visits that several others loved to bake. One day, just as school let out, some church members opened the door in the basement of the church and nudged the old upright piano out onto the sidewalk, and down the road it went. As the elderly women played, the kids walking home from school stopped. Some made requests. Some started singing. Other women handed out cookies and lemonade. Other women jumped on top of the piano. The pastor introduced some Jesus songs, and the members all agreed to do it again the next week. In a short time, kids were crowding the church grounds to sing songs, visit with the grandmas and grandpas, and eat cookies after school. And a whole bunch of gray-haired saints were smiling again. The opportunities are right in front of us. We only need eyes to see them. So again, doesn't mean we have to push out the grand piano and make cookies, But just to get our eyes open to other possibilities, what's out there. And just got to confess, when I hear the word cookies, and given the state that we're in, we're watching a special on cookies. And well, these were special cookies. Yes, we were watching a special on the fire. It was all legitimate, the Paradise Fire. It was pretty interesting. But one of the survivors and so forth, taking care of his mother, would give her these special cookies to help her deal with the pain. And so now when I hear the word cookies, I just keep thinking of. So yes, as a church, let's serve these cookies. All right. So, and who is volunteering? You know, is this someone else's job to do? You know, I remember our oldest daughter, the first place she was at, they had closed the school, but they kept the preschool and kindergarten open. So it was a brand new start, two new teachers, herself to lead it, and another teacher came in to kindergarten. And they had this big empty school now. Well, and then there was just kind of a disconnect between the church and the school. So eventually, though, she did some open houses and asked ladies to...
Yeah, so ladies dealt with their kids and to
sing
Jesus Loves Me
with
the kids.
And make pies, you know, stuff like that.
What did one old guy say? He said,
school?
Yeah.
He just said that the school building was 128 years old and they tore it down and built this brand new beautiful early childhood center. And he said to her, so he said to Allie, you know, I thought our old school was fine. It was just fine. And then he looked around at the opening, you know, the open house of the brand new school, and he said, but what you ladies have done here is pretty amazing.
God is good.
It hits you once in a while. Good stuff. Just again, opening the eyes. So we got ladies involved baking pies, you know, just a simple ministry. This lady was good at making pies, but now connected them together. You know, it can be so simple. Like even last night, too. It was just a great gathering. God gave us great weather, good fellowship, good food, simple, and just bonding with a few people. The fire department came out. The police department came out. They said, this is a good thing. We need more of this. A community building. So just little stuff. Thinking outside the box. All right. So seeing the opportunities. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39.
The healing of the demon-possessed man. Yes.
Just before you get to that, it just occurred to me, you know, the police and fire department used to be so reverent, you know, everybody looked up to them, and now they're getting bashed with all these new policies. So it's something now they're looking for a connection, just like we are, right?
Yeah. And one of the officers said that they're
starting to see a turn, at least in this area. But
it's going to take some work,
unfortunately. So they were appreciative. We're appreciative of them.
So
opportunities to share our faith are more threatening than others. As we look at this section in Luke 8, what factors made this a dangerous situation for Jesus?
He glanced through the words. What made this a dangerous situation?
Sometimes you can scare people. I think that was, they wanted him to leave. They just, it was beyond their comprehension that someone could do this. So sometimes it's fear of what you power.
Right? The fear of a power we don't recognize, that we can't control. I mean, again, this guy was demon possessed.
He was doing harm to himself. The harm could be done to others. And it's a reminder in Ephesians 6, who is our war really against? Who's our battle truly against? Satan, right? The forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And here's a real life example of Satan at work. And we human beings can't control it. And so just Jesus, human flesh, human nature, this could be a dangerous situation, but as God, he was in control, as we'll look at. So we're going to get into why is that a question that we have to talk about. Number two, what does verse 37 teach us about evangelism?
At that moment.
Yeah, we can reject Jesus.
So not every opportunity of sharing Jesus is going to be coming up with a success. There are times when people, as Steve mentioned earlier, will want nothing to do with it. Point three, the healed man wanted to join Jesus and his disciples. Jesus told him no. He gave the man a one-sentence evangelism training course. Return home and tell how much God has done for you. What opportunities do you think this man would find among his own people? Mike.
Hearts and eyes and minds and noticing how his possession probably made him went around naked and hurt himself and others. He was like a beast probably, and then you see his miraculous transformation. And his words could be very grotesque and the power of God.
Yeah, what a better testimony, right? They knew the dilemma that he was in, the battle he was facing, and now there's something different about him. What's the difference? And he would tell them. Some of the family would go, I want to learn more. Would there be others who would say, So, but he had an opportunity, he had an open door to do so. His word in my life. Someone wrote, it's not necessary and it's often unwise to choose the scene of your own martyrdom. Can you think of a
time when the threat or possibility of danger should keep us from telling people what God has done for us?
Right now in Afghanistan, the Taliban has retaken the country. There are many terrible Christians. We have to go hiding right now because they're basically having a bounty on their hands.
All right, so when you're dealing with the Taliban,
like going to Afghanistan, that would not be a good time to go in Afghanistan as we are. Just like in Pakistan for a while there too, we would drop pamphlets as a way to plant the seeds. And
you know, through that,
open doors came about. But just to go there and expect, I'm good. You know, does God say you have to be a martyr? That you have to throw your life into the fire? No, he says be smart about it. Because he also says to his disciples, you know, if people reject you, we'll shake the dust off your feet. That's on them. Tom, you were going to say.
Truth and love and history. He's on a commission from Asia. Mm-hmm. He was saying that that's happening in Hong Kong, too, when Chinese government started to squash the churches. And as they squash 5 from 10 more of them pop up, some more churches.
Yeah, so I think in the Pastor was here to do Pastor Leach for Truth and Love Ministries. He's also on the board.
We do outreach to Asia. And now Hong Kong has changed now too under China rule. And so what was a little more open to the gospel is not so much anymore. And so people have to be careful. Use common sense. You know, we still can be bold witnesses, but use common sense in the process of how we witness. Yes.
Seems like so many times when I've tried to, I don't know, call it force it, try to bring up the gospel or something to people, it just doesn't work. It's usually sort of the conversation naturally goes to something related to Christianity, and then it sort of fits.
Well, to that point,
real quick, I mean, sometimes if people know us, you know, there might be an automatic wall. Oh, I know what you're going to say. I know this and that. And they don't give you a chance. And so, but hopefully you get an opportunity. Okay, let's have a average conversation and let's see where that leads. And they're going, oh, I didn't realize you knew something about sports. You only talked about, you know. And that's the whole idea, right? And it's going to be unique. We want to find ways to approach people. What's going on in their life? You know, it might be the weather. It might be the sports. It might be something at work. It might be, oh, I noticed you're using a cane now. Or, I mean, just what is it going on in their life that you can, it ain't just like, oh, you're a Raider fan. You know, and see where that goes. Yeah, yeah. So, article of clothing can all give us a starting point in conversation. So, your other thing.
Yeah, you know this thing where the pigs all run down the hill and go into the water and die. Yeah. You know that's called?
Suicide. Suicide.
Ba-dum-bum. He's here all day, folks. So to your first point, Dave, too, we want to be careful that we don't push people into building a wall when it comes to Jesus.
And so sometimes you just take a break,
and you're still being salt and light. You're still giving them an example by living your life as God wants you to live. And you're always... Knowing you, you're always looking for a way to bring that conversation in. But it is good to know that they get to know that, okay, not every time we talk, it's going to be about Jesus. Even though it's in your goal, your mind, I want to bring in Jesus in every conversation.
I think one of the previous lessons you brought up, the fact that, you know, to start your day asking God, give me an opportunity just to say something. And when you do that, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to start those conversations. It's not you that is going to force your way in. He's going to give you those words, and he says he will. I'll give you the words to speak
right. When
the time comes, but don't try to push me down everybody's throat.
Right.
He doesn't push himself down, and that's an example. I mean, he doesn't push himself down everybody's throat. There were times, I'm not going to do miracles in my hometown because they rejected me. Now, again, we can't read the heart like he can, but there are signs. So again, it's great to have zeal for Jesus, but we also have to temper that zeal. Ed.
On Elaine's point, a lot of times we're not necessarily just preaching the gospel. We may have to begin with the law.
Right.
I had an occasion this week to speak to a former member we haven't seen in a lot of years.
Yeah.
And it was brutal. It was absolutely not prepared to hear what he said.
Okay.
And it was all along from my having to go on my part. What the grace.
Now again, depending on the circumstances, it will be that way. And as we said before, if we don't know somebody or they haven't had a chance to really be in the Word, yeah, we're probably not going to start with the sentence, you know, if you were to die tonight, you're probably going to end up in hell. We would start it some other way. But if you know of somebody who has fallen away, hey, you know that. So again, that's the uniqueness that comes into play. We're always looking for opportunities. We pray about those opportunities. Lord, help me see the opportunity. But don't put so much pressure on yourself that you miss the opportunity. Or I need to be, you know, man, Ann is such an eloquent speaker. If I could just speak like Ann. Well, praise the Lord that she's an eloquent speaker, but you can still be a good witness without that eloquence. All right, so number two, bottom box. Even though the people of that town asked Jesus to leave, he sent the healed man back to them as a witness. Might this have been a time to give up and stop sharing the gospel with these people?
No, because he's the example.
Okay, no, because he's an example of what has been done.
All right.
They were going to reject Jesus anyways. They weren't going to hear it from him in a way that was accepting, it sounds like. So this man being amongst them on a regular basis maybe softened their hearts and opened them up a little bit, it sounds like.
Yeah, Jesus was
aware of the fact that just by having this man go back, not everyone was going to become a believer.
But he gave
the man an opportunity. He gave him a mission. As long as there is breath in a person, there's an opportunity.
And this man wanted to become a disciple or a follower, but Jesus knew his better place before him was back amongst his own people. So.
You know, and for us
too, we may have a desire to go to a different country. Wouldn't it be cool to go to Africa and be a missionary? Yes and no, right? But can you still have a fulfilled life without having that? Sure. Because there's plenty of witness opportunities here, and we have opportunities to support others. Now, if you get that chance to go, that's great, but it doesn't make you less or more of a Christian if you've done a mission trip outside of this area, because the mission fields are white all over the place.
The only reason to give up is if you consider life having to be successful every time, and you're not
one. Jesus would have given up. Right. You would have said, Mary, put me back in the womb. He got rejection all the time. All
right, next page there. Jesus commanded the man to go back to witness. Do you find it more difficult to witness to family members or strangers? Ooh, I'm hearing a lot of family.
Okay.
Why is that?
On a daily basis.
You're no saint.
Yes.
That's like a priest did with Brian, and witnessing to his first
amongst his own family, hometown. But, you know, his immediate family
rejected him initially. There's indication of that. And then some of them came around. James, for example, leader of the church in Jerusalem.
It also happens when you try to talk to somebody, if there's other people around, you never know what they might pick up on, might start thinking.
Sure.
Side effects.
Yeah, right, that's a good point. I mean,
familiarity can breed contempt, but also as we're having a conversation with strangers, I mean, it is that two-sided coin. We want to be aware of who we're around, too, who else is listening. Because sometimes we might be giving offense to the person at the next table who we're not really talking to, and we may knock on their door like next week, oh, you're that one who was, you know, I mean, so again, how we talk about homosexuality, how we talk about abortion, we always want to speak the truth, but sometimes, again, we need to be careful how we say it, even in a public setting. Because, again, we may unintentionally put up a wall where there wasn't. Or I've run across that where, you know, you mentioned where you're from. Oh, yeah, you know, you're talking there. We're, you know, here at St. Mark's, this is what's going on. And the person next to you gets up and, well, I'm not going to that church. Yeah, should have zipped it. You know, so again, we have to be careful what we say and where we say it. But it is true, more often than not, it's probably easier to talk to a stranger. Because again, like on an elevator ride or whatever, you look for something that they're wearing or something in the elevator, and you can start a conversation, and it may lead to something else. But just, again, part of this is building rapport, building relationships. And the culture today is about relationships even more so. You know, that old adage of, I don't care what you have to say until I know you care, is even more prevalent today. And how important it is, and just so that word hi, just acknowledgement, has always been important, but even more so today.
It could end up being a big question for us as a church, too, knowing how to deal with the whole hundreds of thousands of immigrants that are coming in, even though that many are illegal. Do we reach out to them as a mission field? And how do we do that? And how is that
going to
look as a country?
Right.
Some of our mission churches are facing that very dilemma, whether it be in Phoenix or Southern California especially, where some of our Hispanic churches are. And how do you deal with the illegals? So they wrestle with that day to day.
Huge mission field.
It is. It is. And then part of that mission ministry is also then, okay, you need to do the right thing. And how do you do that? So we have to be careful too that we don't become vigilantes in the name of Jesus. We still have to respect the powers that be and the laws. That's why I appreciate your point. We have to be less quick to judge another church's ministry or individual without knowing the whole story of why they're doing what they're doing. But yet we do have there's a city in Southern California where a lot of the illegals come to first because they know from there they can get their documents to go somewhere else. So we have our church there. It's a witness.
Wisconsin church?
Mm-hmm. So, showing kindness with purpose. 1 John 3,
verses 16 to 18. Showing kindness with purpose.
Looking at verse 16 just isn't very realistic these days. Evaluate that statement. 1 John 3, verse 16. What do you say? Verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Not realistic.
We're not in a situation often where we have to. I can think of that little gal that was up in Roseburg, Oregon, when the shooter was in it. He was going to shoot Christians. He shot the first one, and she said she was the second one. Now she laid down her life for her beliefs. Few and far between are those type of opportunities for us.
Okay.
But what do you mean by laying down your life? Maybe you step in and get between a problem and help somebody. You're not going to die for them, but you're going to try to correct something. So be involved with your brothers and sisters.
Doesn't automatically
mean here loss of life, correct. But am I willing to intervene, to get involved? To the point, even if it came to giving up my physical life for someone else, would I do it? The attitude is key here, as we'll look at. The love of God in verse 17 could refer to God's love for us, or it could refer to a believer's love for God. Which one do you think it is?
A believer's love for God, okay? Which is accurate.
Could it also be God's love for us?
That's true too.
I mean, it's both in a sense. And it's God's love for us that drives our love for others. It generates that love and prompts action. Now again, it may not be direct help that we offer. Like we may not be a direct witness to somebody in Asia or Africa, but indirectly we are able to be that person. Again, through our prayers, through our offerings, through words of support. Prison ministry, same thing. You don't have to go into the prisons themselves to do that ministry, but we can support those who do that. And still showing love for others, generated by God's love for us. Number three, how would you define a brother in need?
Not who, how would you define a brother in need?
A brother in need can be anyone, not just a Christian brother or a physical brother. But anyone in need could be
in spiritual need, in material need, mental need. There's so many different kinds of needs.
Exactly, right? So in the Good Samaritan, who is our neighbor? Everyone is.
And so who is our brother? It can be specifically narrow focus, a fellow believer, but it also can be the neighbor. And then, as you pointed out, the need, there's so many different, emotional, physical, spiritual, whatever need that is. So lacking necessity for body and life. So why do we need the encouragement of verse 18?
Right? So words are easy. Words
can be cheap. Action is what?
Actions speak louder.
What?
Actions
speak louder. Book of James, right? You say you have faith. Faith without works is dead. I mean, faith is what saves us, but how do we show that faith through our works, through our actions?
By a whole lot more people than the one you were showing it to and have an effect. So versus if hearing your word, they're seeing you doing this.
Same thing. So same
example again, if you're at a table in a restaurant, what you're saying might be intriguing to someone else and want them to learn more.
I was just thinking, even if you read purely secular humanistic things about, say, depression, one thing they will say is when you look outside yourself to other people's needs, how much better you feel. You know, truly it's better to give than to receive. And I mean, just how wonderfully God made us, that when we help someone else in need, we are helping ourselves as well. We're also encouraged by that.
Which is a good point. Same with forgiveness. If we are willing to forgive, how that helps
us, even if the other person isn't seeking that forgiveness. Again, but sometimes, though, the world shows compassion, acts of love, better than the church. Why is that?
Makes them feel good about themselves.
The motive is
different, right? So there's a different motive involved.
I mean, when you think
of a natural disaster happens, there's, you know, GoFundMe for this or GoFundMe for that. Not everyone who funds those are believers.
On your point about knowing, helping those in need, sometimes we don't know in our congregation who does need some help.
Right.
That's why the names you give in prayer in the service are helpful, and the bulletin too.
Right.
We can look at those and call those people and see if we can offer help.
Right. And some people don't
want that public. So, you know, again, that's why I try to be careful. If you come and say, we need to pray for so-and-so, do they know about it? Because that, you may not come back on you, but it's going to come back on me. That's happened.
It also, it helps when you can have empathy. When God has allowed you to go through something for the purpose of being prepared to reach out to someone else, because you can't understand, like the green group, you don't understand what that's like unless you've experienced it. And so that's one of the reasons that he allows the stuff in our lives that we don't know why in the world, he would let us experience it, and then we find out.
Right, so empathy.
Good point. Again, to the point of why at times does the unbelieving world show more act of compassion and love for our fellow neighbor than we do in the church? We who have the gospel, we who have the love of Christ compelling us, why sometimes do we act like the frozen chosen? Daniel.
It's like an example of how people have like a natural like conscience. So it's like they have the ability to love naturally.
necessarily learning from the gospel.
I would agree. Okay.
Right. So, I mean, we have this natural knowledge of the law in us. We just because we're enemies of God doesn't mean we're not capable of doing good. To Elaine's point of what's the motive behind it. And so we do acts of compassion for various reasons. It's not, again, trying to pit the church versus the unbelievers, but at the same time, the church really needs to shine. And are we looking for opportunities to reflect the love of God as a church? Now, we have Wells Christian Aid and Relief, so when natural disasters come, they partner with churches in the area and say, how can we be a support to you to reach out to the community? You know, or do we think that by taking down trees, well, that's not a spiritual thing, so I'm not going to go down and help them remove trees or rebuild their houses. But Builders for Christ, I mean, how many opportunities, to Dave's point, have they had to talk about Jesus by bringing down their trailers, and now we're going to help clean up this area that's been devastated, and we're going to rebuild some homes. Why are you doing that? The love of Jesus. You know, just so are we looking for opportunities to witness? Sure.
Build the COVID hospitals. Field hospitals around has done different things, even around here with fire and living disasters. But actually, this, even though many of those, like when they said field hospital in New York City, sometimes people, they believe in this, and that's what should be here. It's in a camp.
Right, there's so many different ways to support. Yep.
Right, to show acts of compassion.
Even though it's may not done by our church body, other Christians out there are showing acts of love and compassion. Again, even if it's showing support through Red Cross, you know, as an opportunity to help show support. Dan, who are you going to say?
There's a fine line. When we do it, we're not out bragging about it. As opposed to one of these tech giant billionaires that, you know, maybe it makes the headline news or something like that. What's their motivation? Generally it's to promote themselves as opposed to how we're doing it. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. But we're not to go out and call the local news channels and go, hey, look at us, look what we're doing, or something like that. So,
you know who would agree with you?
Martin Luther. Because, you know, Martin Luther talks about the fact that faith is not as romantic as good works. I mean, you think about when society does something, we do try to elevate that, right? And there's some of that's okay. But, you know, when Joe, who a philanthropist Joe, passes away, well, and the church says, we're not burying Joe, he wasn't a believer. How can you not bury Joe? Look at all the good he did. But again, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Yes, he did good that benefited society. Good. That God allowed him to have the financial means to use it for something good. But faith is the ticket. We know that. And so James, you know, had to point out, hey, believers, faith, just because you have faith doesn't mean you're supposed to be sitting on the couch. Right? That faith needs to be active. We need to be the salt and light. If unbelievers are doing good, we need to be doing good plus. Not as a competition, but again, we have the right motive. So it just boils down to the fact, are we vigilant for opportunities, not just when it comes to witnessing, but just doing acts of good, compassion. They may be accepted, they may not be. And to Dan's point, we're not putting it in the weekly news. These are the good works that Dan did this week. But, you know, the Lord knows.
Sometimes we look and we think we have to do big things. It's often the small things that we do just on the little side that make a big difference. So don't look for this big opportunity to help. Do the little things here and there.
Yeah, Elijah.
How did God come to Elijah in the whisper, right? Yes.
Yeah, and the point is, people look at the church and say, well, they should be doing all this, and they should be doing that. And they don't know what all the church does within it, and that the church can't do everything.
That is a good point, too. The church can't do everything. Sometimes we become jack of all
trades and master of nothing. And so we just spin our wheels. And so we have to identify what it is that we're able to focus on and do it well. And then again, we're part of a bigger group that we can do other things also. And in the community. So again, we don't have to have our shelves stocked with food that's going to sit there for months. Let's get it out there to those places that are already active and have the people where they know to go. And so when they come to us, we say, hey, it's at this location or at this location. And our CHPD, they are awesome. If we get people on campus that shouldn't be here, they've run into them before, more often than not. And they deal with them gently. And we have support services out there. We don't have to have our own police department. We don't have, at this point in time, we don't have to have our own counseling. We have counseling services that we can tap into. So, good point. His word in my life, meeting someone's need, can provide a great opportunity to share the gospel, which we've been talking about. Think of some examples of Jesus meeting a need so he could share the gospel. What were some needs that he met so he could share the gospel?
Healing. Feeding. Yeah, 5,000
more. Just other miracles. We could go down the list, how he opened doors through those acts. And that's our humanitarian ministry. Even our medical mission in Africa, how we're able to be there in the first place is through the medical missions. In parts of India, digging wells. It allows us to get into that area. We're willing to dig wells so that we can share the gospel. Agree or disagree, sometimes the best witness is kindness.
Chuck said it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Is anybody going to disagree?
Please. Cash?
Sometimes the best witness is kindness. No argument there.
I would think technically it's, unless they know you're Christian, are you really going to say, you know, I mean, kindness is good and stuff, but you can share that, you know, Christ or that you're Christian, and then the kindness goes with it. I think then it is a witness.
Okay, good. So
it's one step. Penny?
Create a relationship which
can
put a door or a window.
Sure. So in
this example, it's we can agree with it as is, but then for discussion's sake, witness is more than just the act, it's also the verbal witness. So there's that pre-evangelism versus the evangelism. You know, opening the door, for example, is setting the stage, hopefully, for a conversation. Now, it may not happen at that point, but what if it's a coworker, for example, or someone who's retired and you continually visit with and you do acts of kindness, it may come to that point where they say, why are you kind to me? Because I'm not kind to you. And then you get a chance to share.
Sometimes you have to be careful with kindness, too. It can be taken as that you are concurring with what they're doing. You might say, oh, that you use homosexuality. You can be kind to the person, but it doesn't mean you have to agree with it. So there's that line with you should be kind to them. Yes, be kind, but you can still disagree. Unfortunately, society today doesn't allow always for that tolerance.
Which is the definition of tolerance, is that we can
get along without agreeing, but now today tolerance is you must agree, right? Bottom there, some things make it difficult to love with action. What can help you overcome each of these difficulties? I am different from the other person.
We're all different,
right? Okay, so Moses, go lead my people out. We're all different. And yet that's not an excuse for sin. Just be, you know, to Steve's point there too. Well, God is a God of love, so if you really love that same person as a heterosexual couple loves, well, then it's okay. Love is love. No, that's not. The other person is living an unchristian lifestyle. How would you love with actions there? We've touched on it briefly. What do we want to keep in mind?
Their salvation
and what else?
Don't lose them by forcing sometimes a law upon them at that point.
Okay.
Take time to build that up and show them their faults.
And again,
depending on who it is, what relationship you've had with that person, your approach will be different. But also remember, as we deal with people, whether they're living in a unchristian lifestyle or just not in Christ.
Can't judge a book by its cover, too.
That's another good point.
I worked at the food bank. I was interviewing the people coming in. And this lady drives, everybody else is pretty private, but this lady drives up in a Mercedes, nice Mercedes. Comes in, dressed really nice, and I'm like, who knows what she's going to do with the food? Maybe she really did read it. Maybe, I don't know. You start to treat them
right,
like you would anybody else who's trying to give you the food.
Yeah, don't judge
the book by the cover. So, I mean, an opportunity like that, maybe if you want to learn what she's doing there, there's questions you can ask that are not so direct, because maybe it was picking up for somebody else. Or maybe she was willing to trade that Mercedes for a can of soup. No. Okay. But remember also, what's in your life? Let's put you in a position to be a witness in the first place.
I'm thinking that one portion of scripture, I think it's in Peter, where he talks about, and that is what some of you were. You know, those, wherever these people are, if they're living in a Christian lifestyle, that's where I was. You know, that is all of our past. That's how all of us start. We are enemies of God, and I am no better.
And that's what we need to remember, right? Our own
display of God's grace in our life, and we want to display that grace in the life of somebody else. So on the next page, it just emphasizes we train ourselves to notice certain things. We do have to train ourselves to notice opportunities, to not write people off, just to write people off. As long as there is breath, everybody's an opportunity to hear about Christ. And it may not be directly through you, but your words of encouragement to a friend to say, well, have you tried this approach? Or, you know, being that ear to people as they deal with frustrations and concerns. So part four there, you can go do on your own. It just emphasizes the whole salt and light and keeping in mind the doctrine of election. Again, we don't know. God knows, but we don't know. Is this a person that God has chosen to be part of his family? And so, again, don't judge a book by the cover. If they got purple hair and full of tattoos versus the one who doesn't, the one actually with the tattoos may be the Christian.
Yeah.
Right. So, again, but just to wrap this up, with the doctrine of election, you know, if God knows those who are going to come to faith, why does he need us?
Well, faith comes from hearing the
message. And he says, go and make disciples. And how do you do that? Baptizing and teaching. We have a role to play. And just through you, God might connect that person to himself. But then again, no guilt. Because again, God, in one way or another, will get that person. But that he allows us the opportunity to share the love of Jesus and bring people into his family. So blessings on your eye-opening opportunities, and God grant you the words to use when those opportunities come. Have a great day in the Lord.